John chapter number 3, and we're going to begin in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Let me go ahead and say this. I'm going to preach the whole message, but I want you to listen to the things that Nicodemus says, because Nicodemus has already decided who he thinks Jesus is, and he's wrong. Jesus was not a teacher come from God. Jesus is God.
Amen.
We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I could shorten that sentence for him. No man can do those miracles.
Amen.
That's the part he was missing. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Don't get it twisted right here. Here's what Jesus is saying. Notice he didn't say, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. We ain't even got to that part yet. He said the reason why you can't see what's really going on here is because you've not experienced this second birth. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? That sounds like a ridiculous question, knowing what we know. But you put yourself in Nicodemus' shoes. I'm glad he was bold enough to ask what was really on his mind right there. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Let me give you a doctrinal point so we don't get out of whack right here. You say, what does that water represent? I don't know. Let's look at the next verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That water, he's not talking about the water in the baptistry. He's talking about the natural birth. The first birth. Verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand in front of your people and preach the blessed word of God. I pray you'd help me to do it in an effective way. God, do what you came to do this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, the issue that Jesus brought up with this man named Nicodemus here is this issue of what we're going to call the second birth. The second birth. He said, the only way that a man can become a part of me, a part of what I'm doing, a part of the kingdom of God, which is the foundational basis of everything that we believe. We're in the kingdom right now. We're a part of the kingdom, and this is a part of the kingdom, what we're doing right here. And he said the only way that you can experience that or become a part of that, or really even understand that or see that, is that you must be born a second time. He said you've already born once. Can I tell you something? Everybody in this room has in common. Everybody in this room has been born at least once.
Amen.
I can tell that because here you are. You say, preacher, how do I know if I've been born? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Some of you look like you might have been hatched, but you was born, trust me. He said, you must be born of the flesh. And then there is a second birth that you must experience. You must be born again. Listen, I thought about this thing and studied about this thing. Because the first time I encountered this, I thought, man, Nicodemus was just nitpicking. He was being crazy. But the more I think about it, and not having no basis for understanding what it means to be born again, Nicodemus had to think, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. Do what now? I got to do what? Be born again. You know I've growed since the first time I was born, right? That's going to be hard to pull off. Jesus said, no, you don't understand. You've been born physically, but now you need to be reborn spiritually. And the problem that we have, let me say it like this. I'm going to get real southern on y'all. The problem we have in the American government, since that's what we like to think about all the time, is the government.
Problem we have in the government is a lack of people being born again.
Amen.
Problem that we have in our communities is a lack of people being born again.
Amen.
And the problem that we have in our churches is a lack of people that's been born again.
Amen.
You understand? That's where the issue lies. The basis of this thing is we have a lot of people that cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's why they look at what we're doing this morning and they say, this don't make no sense to me.
I can't
see why you do that. Well, I understand, because you're blind.
Mm-hmm.
They that are blind to the gospel are blind of themselves. Listen, they can't see nothing.
Amen.
Say, why are our leaders doing the things they're doing? Because they can't see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
All they can see is what's right in front of them.
Amen.
All they can see is what makes rational sense to them in their brains. And what they think is going to advance them in some way. That's all they can see. They can't see the kingdom of God that is among men that gives them the opportunity to be a part of the family of God.
Amen.
But see, if we're going to understand how to be born again, we're going to have to understand what it means to be born again. And I think this too. I believe I've met a lot of saved people in my life that didn't really understand what it meant to be saved. You say, well, preacher, how did they get saved if they didn't really understand what it meant to be saved? Well, first of all, God's the one that saved them.
Amen.
Second of all, if you're going to sit here and tell me that the day you got born again that you understood everything about that, I'm going to have to disagree with you right there.
Right.
But at some point along your Christian journey, you're supposed to learn some things. And I think the problem that we have, the reason why our Christians are not replicating what's happened in their life in other people's lives, is because they still don't understand what happened to them.
Amen.
So I'm going to tell you some things this morning, some real simple stuff concerning this second birth. The first thing I want you to see is it is not of the flesh. A person being born again is not of the flesh. Notice what Jesus said. He made a distinction. He said there's a flesh birth. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And then there's a spiritual birth. That which is born of spirit. Notice that capital S on that first spirit is spirit. Can I explain something to you? I can do a lot of things for you. I can make your life better in a lot of ways. But I can't make you saved.
Amen.
I can't preach you saved. I can't push you saved. I can't drag you saved. I can't convert you with my power. I can't give you what you need to be saved. I can't do none of that stuff because I do not possess the power to influence the spiritual world.
Amen.
Listen, my flesh can't save your spirit.
Amen.
It's not of the... We can't make this happen. We've had a whole generation of churches that have decided that if we put this thing together just exactly the perfect right way, and if we design it and build it exactly right, then saved people are going to come out the other end. But can I say this? You can't manufacture salvation. I can't emotionally work you up into getting saved. I can't build a system that is going to drive you to a point of salvation. I tell you what I can do. I can preach to you the Word of God, and I can let God do what God does. But the problem that we got a lot of times is we're trying to do the part that God's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Amen. That is right.
You can't manufacture salvation.
Nope.
I can't make you. Hey, listen. I can dress you up and clean you up. Teach you all the right things to say and do and places to go, but that don't bit more make you saved than standing in a garage makes you a car.
Right.
Amen.
You can't manufacture salvation. I can't come in here, because here's what we do in the ministry. We say, here's what we're going to do. Now, if we come in here and we preach at this exact volume for this exact length of time, and if we have our musicians play this number of songs, and it lasts this long, we set everything up where the emotional level is just right, then everybody going to get saved. Because that's what we did last week, and a bunch of people got saved. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
You know what? One of the most honest things that I've heard in a long time
and you were talking about this the other day,
I was listening to a conversation on a podcast that Brother C.T. Townsend was having with somebody. And here's what he said about the Burlington Revival. He said, I know we can't duplicate it because we tried to. That's honesty.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't have told that. But he said, I know that we can't make it happen because we went back the next year and tried to replicate it, and it don't work like that. God done something special, and then he moved on to something else. And we never had no control over it. It was never something that we made happen. It was what God did in that moment in time, and that was that. And can I tell you something? Every soul that's been saved inside of this building is something that God put together, not something that I put together. And when I start trying to manufacture that, that's when I start trying to do something that is not my job to do. You cannot manufacture it. You can't manipulate it. You can't manipulate it. It don't matter how many times you tell yourself that your lost family member might be saved. That don't change nothing. That does not justify or allow you the space to let them just live their life without trying to give them the gospel. That doesn't make it. You can't manipulate salvation. You can't fit it into your narrative. You can't make it be the way you want it to be. I've had people come to me and they say, preacher, ever since I got saved, the devil's attacking me. Well, yeah, why would he attack you before you got saved? You already had you. What business did he have with you before then? Hey, friend, you can't make this thing be like you want it to be. Because it ain't your business. You're not the one driving here. It is not of the flesh. You can't duplicate it. You know what I wish? I'm being real honest this morning, as good as I know how. I'm bearing my heart to you a little bit. But you know what I wish I could do? This is going to sound, some of y'all are going to get mad at me, but it's okay. I wish I could duplicate Brian Glover's. Not because he's so great. No, that's not just that, and he is. Honestly, but that's not why. It's because you're talking about a person from our community, came here, got under conviction, got saved, got a burden, got called to preach, and is willing to go and do things that other people aren't willing to go and do in pursuit of that ministry. I wish I could duplicate that 50,000 times over. I wish I could just say, everybody's going to be just like that. But you know what would happen if I could do that? I'd mess it up. I'd probably figure out a way to turn them into a workforce, you know, for me. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm flesh. My flesh is going to get involved in that thing at some point.
That's right.
And I'm going to mess it up. That's why God's the one that designs all that. Amen. We can't duplicate that. I can't manufacture salvation. I can't duplicate it. I can't manipulate it. There's two things that happen in pulpits that really, 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 really bother me. And that's preachers that are trying to convince everybody that they're saved and preachers that are trying to convince everybody that they're not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't save you. If you're saved, you're saved because God saved you.
Amen.
Not because anything I did. Not even because anything you did. But that ain't between you and me, friend. That's between you and Him.
Amen.
Salvation is not of the flesh. The second birth is not of the flesh. The second birth is not predictable. Look what he said. Listen to this. Here's what he says about it. In verse 7 he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Now that sounds cool when we quote it now, but I want you to think about what he was saying to Nicodemus. He was saying now, don't let that freak you out that I'm talking about being born again. Marvel not. Huh? How can I not marvel at that? How am I not puzzled by that? He's saying, calm down now, because I'm going to explain it to you. And look what he says in the next verse number 8. He says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, but you can't tell where it's coming from and where it's going. The wind blows, if the wind blows by this window right now, you can't see it. Only thing you can see is what it does. But you can't tell me where it started at, and you can't tell me where it ended at. You can't tell me, you really can't even tell me what direction it's coming from except for where it's right there blowing on you. You don't really understand that. We don't really understand that much about it except that we know that it is operational. We know when it's around. And I can tell you this morning. I can't explain to you everything about salvation, but here's what I know. I know that it's real. And I know where the wind of the Spirit has been. And I know when God is involved. But I can't explain to you exactly when it starts or when it's not predictable. The drawing is of God.
Amen.
Here's what Jesus said. This is an amazing verse. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Now let me tell you what he says. He's saying, you can't even decide you need to get saved unless he lets you know you need to get saved. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Now see, this is going to mess up some of this 49 people saved every week theology. But if you're in here and God is drawing you, that ain't got nothing to do with me. I can't draw you, don't possess the ability to draw you. I can draw you, but not to salvation. I can draw you to some kind of man worship. That's what a whole lot of these preachers are doing. But I can't draw you to true salvation, friend. That's between you and God.
Amen.
Jesus said, you take no man. You know how many people is included in no man? None. Zero. You can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you.
Right.
It's impossible. It is not predictable. The drawing is of God. That's why I don't... Hey, listen. Every time somebody gets born again, it surprises me. I'm almost never... Very rarely in my ministry have I walked into a situation where I knew somebody was lost, I knew God was drawing them, I knew they were heavy under conviction, and I knew this is going to be the day that they're finally going to get in. That's rare. God's let me see that a few times, but I'm telling you that's rare. Most of the time, I'm shocked as everybody else is. Because it ain't got nothing to do with it. I wasn't the one drawing them in the first place. God drawed them. Here's what God told me to do. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's my job. Is that you hear. The rest of it's up to him. The drawing is of God. Not only the drawing is of God, but the change is of God. I know this ain't deep. That's okay. Y'all can get y'all just go with me here. The change is of God. Let me explain something to you. The reason why, the other day I had a conversation with somebody about the fact that November, I'd be 10 years, not only 10 years saved, but 10 years sober. November, 10 years. I ain't had, drank a drop in 10 years. And here's what inevitably, every time I have this conversation, it goes the same way. It goes like this. Well, how'd you quit? I love it when they say that. Because I usually say something like this. Well, I didn't. God took that thing in me that desired alcohol, and somehow he removed that. And I didn't have that desire no more. How'd you change? Well, I didn't. God changed me.
Amen.
See, you can turn over a new leaf and restructure your life and rebuild your life and try to make things better and try to do things better and try to do this and try to do that. But I want you to understand something. God has a power that we do not have, and that is creative power. He has the ability to create something from nothing. You can't do that. I don't care what you say. You can make something into something else, and that's what a lot of people are trying to do with their lives, is turn what they are into something else that they want to be. But when God gets involved, he's not changing what you are into something that you want to be. What he does is, the Bible says that the old man, that of you which exists at the time of your salvation, is passed away, it's gone, it's done with, and there is a new creature that is born on that day that is not, I'm telling you, on November 10th, 2013, I got born again, and there was a person on that day that walked into Cornerstone Church in Washington, North Carolina, and never walked out.
Amen.
He's gone. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't start a new program. I didn't try something new. Listen to me. I died and was reborn into something that did not exist prior to that moment. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away and all things are become new.
Amen. Amen.
Some of you are trying to fix something that God's already fixed. You're trying to fix in your own power something that was not created by your own power. If you are saved, you are a new creature.
Amen.
A creation of God. You are something that God designed for a specific purpose. And a lot of times, the reason why we can't never get comfortable in that skin is because we're never willing to accept the design and purpose that God has for that creature. The drawing is of God. The change is of God. But the ministry is of God. What a believer does. This is what I'm talking about right here. Here's what the Lord said. He said that not only have you been created a new creature, old things are passed away, all things will come new. Paul said it like this, the old man died. And the new man was reborn. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The only part of my old man that ain't died yet is what's wrapped around my new man. Alright? But check this out. The Bible also says this. The Bible says that when we are in Christ, that He has before ordained, we are created unto good works that God has before ordained. You know what that means? That means He decided before you was around. That you should walk in them. There's persistence. God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Think about this now. That means before you got saved, before you ever even knew you were going to get saved, before you ever even understood what it meant to be saved, somewhere way back on, I don't know, somewhere in eternity. Alright? I don't understand God's timeline. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
God had a meeting with Himself. Say, explain that to me. I ain't going to try. But there won't nobody else for Him to meet with. But Him, Him, and Him. Alright? God sat down with God. And He said, there's going to be this lady named Paige. And I'm going to save her. And when I do, that new Paige, that new creation that I make, I'm going to lay out a designed plan for her life. At every juncture, I'm going to have a direction that she should go. And I'm going to decide before any of us are ever involved, this is what I want out of her life. Think about it like this. If God has a plan for your life, then anything that you do to deviate from that path is going to be less than what God intends for you to do.
Amen.
He said, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to design a plan for her life. I'm going to lay it all out. Stay with me now. And it's not going to be her choice.
Amen.
That's where we get messed up at. We spend way too much time dwelling on what we want to do or what we want out of life. And a lot of times we miss what God has designed for our life.
Amen.
I want to be a NASCAR driver. Really. That's like deep little boy stuff down inside of me. I want to drive 200 miles an hour on one of them banks. I drove a semi-truck around one of them banks before, making a delivery, and now I want to do it at 200 miles an hour. And maybe one day, my Bible says
If I delight myself also in the Lord, He'll give me the desires of my heart. Maybe one day I'll get to sit in one of them 200 mile an hour cars. But hear me right here. That is not my purpose in God. That's not part of the design plan for my life. Listen, it might get thrown in there somewhere. But understand something. God designed a plan for me, not just for me, but for everybody that I would encounter in that journey as well. And if I get hung up on what I want to do, well, what about all them other folks? See, if I'd have said, I don't want to pastor a church, because hear me right here. I'm almost done. I'm gonna preach the rest of it in a minute, but I feel real good about where I'm at right now. Because if there's one thing, the day before we made the decision to plant down East Baptist Church, if there's one thing that I did not want to do in this life, it was pastor a church. Had zero interest in pastoring a church. Matter of fact, I had already been given an opportunity to pastor a church that seemed like a good fit, and God didn't give me the green light, and I was thankful for it. I was happy to move on and hand it off to somebody else, because pastoring a church is hard work.
Amen.
And you don't make enemies in evangelism when you just go around and preach at everybody's church for revival. Everybody loves you. They think you're great. You make enemies pastoring. I'm talking about pastoring comes with a lot of troubles and problems. There's a lot of things, responsibilities on your plate as a pastor. That ain't what I wanted for my life. I wanted to be the guy that everybody loves. I want to be the cool guy. I swing into town, stay in a hotel, preach the big meeting, get the big paycheck, head on back to the house. That's what I wanted out of this thing. But you know what? How many people would not be, I'm not talking about me now, I'm talking about God's plan. Had I not somehow come to the conclusion to follow the plan of God, how much different would this community be? It ain't all been perfect. It ain't all happened just like I wanted it to happen. Just like I pictured it in my mind. I tell you what, God's done some stuff around here that I honestly believe that the part that I played in it was being obedient to the will of God.
Amen.
You can't, listen, you can't predict that. I'm getting a little bit.
Miss Debbie, when you was dropping Jesse and Kevin off at Gardner's Elementary School, and there I was, running about, doing whatever I was doing. You didn't look at that little snot-nosed kid and say, now this is going to be my pastor one day. And this is going to be, he's going to plant a church in a storefront in Pine Top, and both of my sons are going to get born again, and their families are going to get in church. Are y'all listening to me? I know, I ain't trying to be hyper-emotional here. I'm just telling you, God knows what He's doing.
Amen.
God knows what He's doing. What we got to do is quit trying to do everything for Him. You can't predict what God's going to do. You can't, I'm telling you, Christian, listen to me. Some of y'all are still sitting at the starting line and you have not yet begun to run the race. And I am here to tell you a decade into this thing that God's design for your life is so much better than your design for your life. What God's got in store for you is so much better than what you've got in store for you. And it's time for you to get on His trail instead of getting on your trail and following after and chasing after what you're looking for, and let God be God in your life.
Amen.
Dr. Joe Arthur said it like this: God will be as real to you as you will let Him be.
But you can't predict it. It's not of the flesh. It's not predictable. And I'm going to say this, and I'm closing. It's not hidden. Salvation is not hidden.
We have this idea that the whole world is seeking after something they can't find. That's not true.
Salvation is revealed in the prediction of Scripture, all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3.
God said way back yonder in Genesis chapter 3, before Adam and Eve ever got out of the garden, God said out of His own mouth, there's one coming, born of a woman, He's going to take this thing over. He's going to crush the head of the serpent.
Amen.
He's coming. All throughout the Bible, the Savior was predicted. Isaiah said, there's going to be one come. And listen, He's going to be hanged on a tree. They're going to look on the one that they have pierced. David said in the Psalms that He was coming.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Moses said, there's a prophet coming after me. Ain't going to be like I am. That's why the Pharisees asked Jesus, are you that prophet? He knew what they were talking about. Jeremiah said, He's coming. Are you listening to me? Malachi said, He's coming. The Scripture has predicted His... Daniel predicted not just that He was coming, but the exact day and place where He would be born.
Amen.
You go study your Bible history, and I'm telling you, study, go look at whoever you want to look at. I'm telling you, Daniel said, not only is He coming, He's coming on this day. And that's the day that He came.
The Scriptures predict salvation. The prediction of Scripture, I want you to see the proclamation of the saints.
Salvation is not hidden because of people that already have it. Because if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, then we're telling other people what it is that we've got. Part of God's design for your life, for each and every Christian. Say, I don't know how to find the will of God for my life. Well, let me give you something right here. God's not willing, here's what He said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I can't tell you everything about the will of God for your life, but I can tell you that it is the will of God for your life that you tell somebody else about Jesus.
Amen.
It is the will of God for your life that you direct your life in such a way that you can, that your desire is to get somebody else in.
And then I want you to see this, the power of conviction. I have watched
over the years hundreds of people walk into a church service and experience something the Bible calls conviction. That is an inner understanding that you are a sinner, lost without God, a turmoil of decision making. What should I do about that? That is the Holy Spirit letting you know that you don't have what you need.
Amen.
And in that same amount of time, those same hundreds of people, I've watched many, 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 way too many of them fight against that conviction and leave a church or a service the same way that they came. And here's the danger of that. The Bible says that the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Here's what Solomon said in Proverbs. He said, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That means one day, there's going to be a day where you feel that conviction and you pull away from that and you leave that church the same way you came, and that's the last chance you ever get.
That's right.
And that's the end of that. The second birth is not hidden. God reveals Himself through conviction. And the view
beauty of the design plan of God is that the power of conviction is not something that needs explanation. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm under conviction? If you're asking me that question,
listen, preacher, what does conviction feel like? Here's what I'm going to say about it. There's people in this room right now. I'm as certain of it. I know it's true. There's people in this room right now that are experiencing exactly what I'm talking about. And the more I talk about it, the more their hearts beat. And the more I preach about it, the more they realize that I know and they know and everybody else knows. The more that I continue on, the more that they begin to feel the power of that conviction on them. And the more that this service goes on, the harder it gets for them to fight against that. And you say, preacher, why do you keep preaching like this? Because I want them to have to make a decision.
Amen.
I can't make you get saved, but I can do everything in my power to ask God to do everything in His power to make you make a decision.
Amen.
If you leave out of here as lost as you came in here, you've made a decision.
Yep.
Yep. And there's going to come a day, friend, when the time for decision making is over with. There's going to come a day when you no longer have the right or the power to make that choice. And here's my prayer for you today. Before that day comes, that you'll make the right choice. Hunter's coming to the piano. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're standing all up.